Joshua 1, 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. For the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from you, from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
So, if you have been keeping up with our daily Bible reading, you are now all the way done with the book of Joshua. We covered it in 1 week. We will cover Judges in the coming week. And these can be difficult books, even though they're relatively short. So, we're going to spend just a few moments this morning talking about the book of Joshua. And, of course, if we boil a whole book down to just one little sermon, we're not going to cover it exhaustively. Feel free to come on Sunday nights. We have the singing tonight, so we won't be here tonight. It might get canceled due to the weather. We still won't be here tonight. But some Sunday night soon, you can come and talk and ask me any question you want to. That's what we do every Sunday night. We call it the debrief. So you can come in and ask whatever question you want to about the scripture readings or anything else. But as we saw in our scripture reading today, Joshua started out as Moses' assistant. This was some 40 years prior to our scripture reading, and we see that transition taking place. Now, we talk about transitioning, especially as it goes to leadership here at the congregation. I'm an old preacher, so I won't be here forever. You got to start looking for a new one. You don't wait until I'm gone to start doing that. That's a mistake. You got to start that process. Same for elders. We didn't wait until we needed elders to find new good elders. We appointed them when the Spirit prompted us to. Same for deacons. Same for secretaries, although Mary will probably be the secretary long after I die, because she's that good. But eventually, everybody has to be replaced. I would like to point out that Moses and Joshua started that replacement cycle 40 years ago. And just now, Joshua's getting to where it's his turn to step up and lead Israel after a 40-year wait. That's a commitment right there. We'll come back to that aspect in a minute. But you might remember Joshua as one of the 12 spies, Numbers 13 and 14. He was certainly one of Israel's leaders in battle, even before the book of Joshua. But what I mainly want to notice this morning, it was God himself who selected Joshua to replace Moses. This was God's choice. And I believe far more often than not, God is willing to disclose to us what his choices are, if we listen. That's been one of my convictions that I've operated under since I arrived here. That God is willing to still give us guidance and lead us in the direction that he wants us to go. And quite often, as David has pointed out, he will choose a human agent to do that. That's why I joked about not listening to my wife, because normally I know if Jesus is going to give me a message, it's straight from her lips. Right? But today I took the risk that he really wanted me down here, and she was wrong. Yeah, I know. I'm running in the wrong direction right now, aren't I, Cheryl? But that's also part of the book of Joshua, because sometimes you're going to run in the wrong direction, but God gives you time to figure it out. We saw that when Achan decided to keep some of the stuff from Jericho, right? Keep that in mind. We'll come back to it. So we read this week about Joshua's ministry, his leadership. He was the commander-in-chief for all the battles under which Canaan was conquested. In fact, the book gave us a long list of kings that he defeated. But was clear, we didn't get all of it done. 30 years weren't enough. The next generation is going to have to step up and do more. And so no matter how successful a congregation is, the next generation is always going to have to step up and do more. And we saw that long ago in the book of Joshua. He administered dividing up the land. But again, they checked with God. They cast lots. Lord, how do you want us to do this? And the Lord said, take this tribe first and give them this piece of land. And so that's what Joshua did. Joshua administered it, but God decided it. And of course, the book ends with Joshua's final words. His final words, as well as the whole book, emphasize that God is always good to us. He's been faithful. He's kept his promise. And then, in response to that, Joshua has always pressed the people to be observant of God's will, to do what he wants you to do, to keep the covenant. That was the Old Testament language for that. But it's the same idea that we have today. Since God has been good to us, shouldn't we listen to him? Shouldn't we do what he wants? God has kept his ancient promise to Abraham, but he's kept it to our generation. That's what Joshua is saying. This promise is now 500 to 700 years old, and God is still keeping it. And so you might say, well, Phil, we're living under a promise that's 2,000 years old. And I'm saying, yes, and God is still keeping it. Jesus is still king, and he's still coming again. And that should make a difference how we live. Different promise, same God. Same faithfulness. So it's important to trust in God, and it's important to follow him wholeheartedly. Now, as you can see on the slide, Joshua does foreshadow Jesus. I thought that was real clever. You can see Joshua's name, but the shadow isn't Joshua, it's Jesus. I thought that was clever. Nobody else caught that, huh? No? By the way, same name in Hebrew, Yeshua. Jesus' name was Joshua. It got changed through Greek and Latin. We call him Jesus, but his name was Yeshua. Same name. Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, all the same name. So if you ever named your kid Joshua, you didn't name him Jesus whether you meant to or not. Okay? But it's not just about the name. It's about the deliverance. It's about the success. It's about standing up to enemies. But this morning I'm going to focus on just one thing. It's about the leadership. Because I think the leadership of Joshua tells you a lot about the leadership of Jesus, and the leadership of Jesus also tells you a lot about the leadership of Joshua. I'm just going to look at it from Joshua's perspective this morning. Because the truth is, we need to know how to pick a good leader. And we need to know how to follow a good leader. And we also need to know that every single one of us in this room is in some regard a leader. Whether we like it or not, somebody is watching us. They're looking to see how we react. They're looking to see how we follow God or don't. They're looking to see how our heart is soft or not. They're looking to see. Could be a neighbor, coworker. Could be some fella we don't even know. But he knows we go to church. He keeps an eye on us. All of us in this room are leaders to some degree. And all of us should try to have the same kind of leadership style that Joshua and ultimately Jesus has. Because we are supposed to be Christian. That's the claim we make, right? So we should lead our lives the same way that Joshua did. All right. I want to notice a few things this morning. Let's see if I can get myself together here. There we go. I don't know if that's really Joshua's picture. I suspect not. I don't think they had cameras back then, did they? We'll take it as an artist's rendition. Confident, bold, got a sword, got a shield, hard-fighting soldier, right? I'm ready to do your will, Lord. Did you ever notice, just in the scripture reading this morning, how many times God had to tell Joshua to be strong and courageous? By the time you're saying something to me the third time, like use scope, I can figure out I got bad breath, right? By the time somebody has to tell you for the third time to be strong and courageous, that might not be your strong suit. And this is what I mean when I tell us that God is interested in the arc of our life. He knows where we start out. He meets us there, and he wants us to become something better. He wants us often to become something that's not even in us. And so don't assume that Joshua is some kind of superhero, some kind of leader born in heaven. Quite the opposite. He had no title, no pedigree. He was a guy just like you and me. Just another feller off the heap. But God said, I'll be with you. And that's the reason he could be courageous. I will be with you. That'll make a brave heart out of any of us. We believe that promise. His journey wasn't easy. He faced formidable obstacles. I mean, towering walls, fierce enemies, even a few giants, iron chariots. He was outnumbered, but he remained steadfast. He trusted God. So he knew at the end of the day, no matter how the world might tally it up, we're going to succeed because God said so. Ultimately, Joshua's courage is because he never wavered. That's hard to say with no teeth. I should avoid V's. Don't panic. I'm getting my teeth back soon, I hope. He never wavered about who God is. And if God said you can take the land, Joshua believed it was true. He had faith. That's what gave him courage. And it takes courage to follow God. You see this all over the book, sometimes in odd ways. So, okay, we'll have a little quiz here. It's no shame if you didn't read it, although I hope you start reading. If you're not doing the daily Bible reading, do it with us. It makes the sermons a lot more fun. So if you want to enjoy the sermon more, do the daily Bible reading. It'll be more fun. You'll like it better. So we come to Joshua chapter 5 at a place called Gilgal. Anybody want to, in a very genteel fashion, tell me what happens there? Bueller. Gilgal is when all the men, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, they're heading into the promised land. They've already crossed the river. They wait until they're living among the enemy, and then God says, now's a good day for all you men to be circumcised. We'll wait until we cross the river and are living with the enemies. Now's a good day. Let's do it. Yes, Travis. Thirty-one kings total, yes. All the tribes worked together to conquer 31 kings, that's right. Oh, take the next few chapters. So at the end of chapter 5, some feller shows up, and Joshua's like, okay, get ready to draw swords. Are you for us or against us? And the guy says, neither. I'm the commander of God's army. I'm not with you. You better be with me. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to march around the city once a day for 6 days. Great. I can just see Joshua writing the battle plan down. March around once a day for 6 days. Don't say a word. Got it. Don't say a word. Okay. What next? Well, on the seventh day, you're going to march around seven times. And on the seventh time, once you make the seventh circuit, the priests are going to blow the horns, and you're all going to shout, and the walls are going to fall in. Say what? That's your battle plan? Yeah, that's it. Okay, fine, we'll do it. I've had God, through the Word, ask us to do some really odd things. You want to take care of your sin problem? Get baptized. It'll wash them away. That's the same as march around the city seven times. Are you going to trust God or not? It doesn't have to make sense to you. Courage allows you to listen to God when it doesn't make sense. As long as you know God's saying it. He had courage enough to deal with the setback of Achan, chapter 7, and the loss of the battle at Ai. And boy, the people are mad at Joshua. What have you done to cause this? And Joshua's like, I didn't do anything. Let's ask God. And God says, start casting lots. I'll tell you who did what. They finally figure it out. It's Achan. He had the courage to deal with the mistake of making the treaty with Gibeah in chapter 9. Remember how mad the people were at him for that? How could you possibly make this treaty? Joshua just owns up to it. It was a mistake. Wasn't the end of his politics. Wasn't the end of his career. He made a simple mistake. They worked through it. They figured it out. And because he had courage, they moved on. He made a very bold request in chapter 10. He was fighting the Amorites. He asked God to have the sun and moon stand still. Make the day longer for me, Lord. We're winning. And God does it. So not did he have just enough courage to listen to God. He had enough courage to ask God for something pretty audacious. And God listened to him. More than anything, what I'm trying to say is Joshua's courage was because he relied on God, not himself. He didn't have self-courage. He had a God-reliant courage. And there's a big difference. So, Jericho again, the walls are falling down. I don't think Joshua only had courage. I think he also had conviction. When you have enough courage to listen to these odd plans that God throws out on the table, that's a conviction. Now you're beyond just being brave. Now you've got some heart. I admit that courage and conviction often overlap. A brave person will also feel conviction more so than a coward will. That's just kind of the nature of the beast. But they are two very different things. I know lots of people are brave, but they're not convicted about one simple thing in their life. This is like the person that will make all these political comments under the cover of Facebook or anonymity, right? I got enough courage to tell you what I think. I don't have any real convictions about any of it. Joshua demonstrated his courage by his obedience and faith. But his conviction allows to do it when he's facing uncertainty or even outright failure. If you go all the way back to Numbers 13 and 14, when the spies were first sent out, some 40 years ago now, 38-ish, two spies brought back a good report. Anybody remember their names? Caleb and Joshua. Okay, Joshua, I'd already given that one away. You're right. And the way they frame that is all about conviction. Because 10 spies are saying, we can't do it. The people are too large. They're too numerous. Yes, the land is pretty, but we don't have the strength. And Joshua and Caleb are like, it doesn't matter about our strength. What matters is God says to do it. That's conviction. That's no longer courage. That's conviction. Especially when they know it's not the popular answer. The popular answer in Numbers 13 and 14 is that the people grumbled and did not want to go in. And so 10 of the spies were like, let's take a poll. Yep, we're not going to do it. They don't want to do it. And conviction says, I don't care what your poll says. This is what God is telling us to do. That's conviction. You see it all over the book of Joshua, not just early on in Joshua's life. He's willing to risk his life for what he believes in. And I think more than anything, it enables him to be decisive. Conviction enabled Joshua to be a decisive leader. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to solve this problem. Now, again, I've already asserted this. He's listening to God, but nonetheless, he's decisive. Turn to Joshua 23. Give you two scripture readings for the price of one. Beginning in verse 1, after a long time had passed, the Lord had already given Israel rest from all their enemies around them. Joshua by then was old. He was well advanced in years. So he summoned all of the Israelites, their elders, their leaders, their judges, their officials, all of them. And he said to them all, I am now old, even to the point of being well advanced in years. Common English, I'm older than dirt. That's what he's saying there. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. So now remember that I have always allotted an inheritance for your tribes. I have parsed out all the land of the nations and have even divided land among nations that remain. I certainly did it to the nations I have conquered, from the Jordan to the Great Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will drive out the remaining people. He will remove them from your way. He will push them out from before you, and you will eventually take possession of all the land, just as the Lord your God has promised you. So now you must be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain. So on and so forth. You get the idea. That's what conviction sounds like. That's what it looks like. And a convicted person can always call the next person to conviction. You've seen me be courageous. You saw what I went through. Now it's your turn to step up. It's time to step up. You need to have the same conviction, the same courage that you saw in me. God will do this. God will keep his promise. And you've got to step up. One of the more interesting things about that little passage is how much he emphasizes meditating on the Word of God. Listen to the words of God. Listen to the law. Do what it says. Meditate on it and do what it says. You never get too old to follow Scripture. At the very end of the book in Joshua 24:31, Israel served the Lord all the lifetime of Joshua. Joshua had an obedient generation. That's helps a leader, but the other side of it is Joshua's leadership helped them be even more obedient. Let me paint the picture this way. Joshua spent 40 years following Moses, but he spent 110 years following God. And if you want to be a good leader, they better be a good follower, at least of God. Because that'll give them courage and conviction. And they'll be able to point you in the right direction, and then it'll be up to you whether you're going to listen or not. But you can have fairly high confidence that they won't be mistake-free, but they will listen. Joshua had his fair share of hiccups in the book. But he always got it figured out because he always went back and listened to God. And the lifestyle of far too many Christians today is absent conviction, unless it's political conviction. Let me be really clear. I don't have a real great concern for your politics one way or the other. I know some of you have great concern over this. I don't hold it. I'm not concerned about your politics. My concern is far more important. I'm concerned about how well you listen to Jesus. And those are two real different things. And if you've got enough conviction to listen to Jesus, your politics won't fit into either camp. That's just as plain as I can make that. I don't see us as a blue congregation or a red congregation. The truth is, we're fairly well split down the middle. The truth is, our congregation gets along real well, despite the fact that we got a whole lot of people that vote different. I think that's a real blessing. I think it's something to be proud of. But make no mistake, this isn't about how you vote. It's about how convicted you are that Jesus is the King of the world. Joshua was convicted. And I would to God that more Americans were just convicted as much as he was. So, at any rate, he had the conviction to make things happen that were good as God defined them. But let's come down to one last thought, and I'm sure this is already where you're thinking, because if you talk about conviction, this verse surely has to pop into your mind. Joshua 24, 14 through 16. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river or even in Egypt. Serve the Lord your God alone. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods of your forefathers that they served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. But as for me and my house, we have already chosen to serve the Lord. Then all the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord or to serve other gods. That conviction allowed Joshua to complete the task. And so his courage, his conviction, and his completing of the task made him a successful leader. He didn't give up until the job was done, at least in his generation. In the book of Acts, as Paul is preaching, he makes the same statement of David. When David had finished everything in his generation that the Lord had given him to do, he died and was buried with his elders. And our generation needs to finish everything God is giving it to do. We won't save the whole world. The Church Universal should work towards that goal. That's not what we've been given to do. We've been given the job of saving this town. And if we get that far, then we can work on the county. And if we get that far, then we can work on the state. But right now, I'd be satisfied if we even saved up here in Franklin Heights. You drive through this neighborhood every week. How many cars do you see in the driveways when you come and when you go home? So Joshua had enough commitment to get the job done. He had enough courage to get the job done. But either way, he got the job done. And that completion is now what I'm focusing on. More than anything, he had the ability, he had the cachet, after 30 years of leadership, to still look his folks in the eye and say, now it's your turn. I've done all I can do. Strength, courage, and commitment to God's kingdom are tough, especially if we try to do it on our own. The reason Joshua was successful is because he didn't try to do it on his own. So don't misunderstand. I'm not up here spouting off a bunch of self-help gobbledygook. You want my honest opinion? We're not good enough. We're not qualified. Certainly true of your preacher. That's no knock against us. That's just the way it is. And yet God calls us, loves us, chooses us, empowers us, saves us, leads us, guides us. And all he's asking us to do in return is to rise up. And by the courage and commitment and completion that he has given us, finish the task set before us. And even if I be poured out like a drink offering, I have run the race. I have finished the course set before me. And the Lord himself will bestow upon me a crown. That was Paul's cry. It was Jesus' cry. It is finished. I've completed the task you have given me to do. So now, O Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with you before the world began. And while this might require much effort and certainly prayer on our part, what it requires more than anything is to let God be God. And to make it your absolute conviction that you're going to do his will. When it's hard or when it's easy. When it's popular or unpopular. When it makes sense and when it doesn't. Here's what we've been noticing over the last 4 years. God brings difficulty into our life on purpose. Wish I had a different verse to put on that, but that's what the Bible teaches. Because ultimately, that difficulty is what's best for us. And whatever we face, we can have the courage, the conviction, and the completion to make it through by God's power. And only by God's power. Ultimately, Joshua did do what it took to bring glory and honor to God. But he did it through the power that God gave him. Through the strength, the courage, the conviction that God gave him. He completed the task by following the Father. And we must do likewise. If you want to be a godly leader, consider these things. Let me rephrase that. God is calling you to be a leader already. Consider these things. If you have a need, why don't you come as together we stand and sing.
We're again thankful for your presence today. I hope everyone has a great afternoon. A few announcements to remind you of. Remember, fifth Sunday singing tonight at Lenten. We will not be having services here tonight, so remember the singing at Lenten. On Tuesdays, the Sojourners meet at 10 a.m. We have our regular Wednesday night Bible studies at 7. And then Saturday, there's a ladies' breakfast at the Hart Street McDonald's at 9 a.m. So, ladies, put that down on your calendars.
I think they're calling it the Ladies' Liar Club, right?
Probably so. And the first liar doesn't have a chance. We do want to, there's some announcements on the inside. Let's see if I got that.